Joined this morning by Tim Hudak, former leader of the Ontario PCs, now the CEO of the Ontario Real Estate Association. Tim, how are you doing?
Good morning, John. I'm doing great. Early happy Easter to you.
Yeah, same to you. So Easter is not only happening this year, I guess Easter Monday is on April the 1st, but it's also a day when the Canadian Taxpayers Federation do their work. And it wasn't hard for them this year because the carbon tax is scheduled, and that's been the subject, of course, all kinds of debate, to go up. And that will affect, for example, around 3 cents on car gas, 4.7% on alcohol. It's also the month in which people file their tax returns, income tax returns. And of course, the city tax bills with that big 9.5% total tax increase will show itself on people's tax bills, city tax bills. And so all of this, I guess I just would say to you, do you think it's going to make anything worse in terms of the people's perception of being under siege on affordability, or do you think it's just going to be they'll shrug their shoulders and just say more of the same?
Yeah, no, it's a pile on, and I don't know if folks keep track of every direction that's coming, but you feel it in your pocketbook. You see it in your bank account and your credit card bill, John. Look, I'm a fan of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. They can come across as a bit strident from times, but you need that. You need that watchdog. When I was in the legislature, I'd regularly call upon them to come before our committees to give their point of view. So they're talking, you laid out a number of the taxes that go up at April 1 from things that many of us use, and so, I guess, including me on a daily basis, whether that be alcohol or gasoline. But let's not forget, in January, CPP went up. If you're self-employed, that's a double whack on your payroll. We also see constant pressure, not only from municipal taxes, but interest rates are taking a bite, John. If you have a variable mortgage, you have any kind of debt that you need to pay through a line of credit or credit card, it is all taking money out of your pocket. This reinforces, the deepening affordability crisis, and see how parties are lining up on this.
Yeah, it's interesting. It wasn't by accident, as you and I both know, that Premier Ford and Peter Bethenfalvy included in their budget something to do with auto insurance rates, because I've been with a couple of friends who've, literally been with them when they opened up that envelope and seen the notice that came with very significant increases in auto insurance premiums. And, that, again, is just coming out of after-tax dollars. You have to have it by law, so it's not a choice you have. You could have a choice not to have a car, I guess. So these are the kinds of things where when you have no choice, like you say, on your housing. Alcohol, I guess, is a choice, but on your housing, no choice. If you have a car, gasoline, no choice. Automobile insurance, no choice. You got to pay.
Absolutely. And I was going to say a similar point, that parties are picking sides. And the Ford government, their budget is looking for relief on auto insurance and also extending the gas tax holiday, which is, over $1 billion per year back into people's pockets. I look forward to a federal election where I think this can be finally decided, because the push is getting to be far too strong and families are falling further and further behind.
Now, in the meantime, you've got Prime Minister Trudeau. And I took note of this, as you would, as somebody who's been around politics a long time. I think the Renters' Bill of Rights is interesting from the standpoint of it being seen largely as an area of provincial responsibility. But what I find more interesting is the political implications of it, where, they have looked at the voting pool. They've looked at the people they lost who they have a possibility, perhaps, of getting back. And they've come forward with a Renter's Bill of Rights. And they've taken note, I'm sure, of the fact that 2/3 of the younger voters are renters, and that they feel nobody's in their corner when it comes to the cost of their housing. So to me, it's the politics of this measure they're saying that's going to be in the budget, the Renter's Bill of Rights, more so than the substance of it that is of interest.
Yeah, it no doubt good short-term politics, bad for housing, and I'll make the case now, John, bad for renters. Let me tell you why. First of all, you got to pick a lane. And when it comes to housing issues, the landlord-tenant relationship, that's all provincial level. And I don't like the notion of the federal government coming in. I don't even know if they can intervene, if there's a sincerity behind this or just the politics. We will see what's exactly in that Bill of Rights. But, I recently visited my colleague in California who, runs the California Association of Realtors. And there in California, renters make up almost half of the housing population, about 44%. And the laws in California, John, have become so pro-renter that they're now having fewer and fewer homes come into the market to be rented. You would have seen this in your capacity as mayor, as an MPP, the mom-and-pop landlords who have seen their life savings destroyed by some professional bad tenant who doesn't pay rent and runs the system, dragging this out for years. And meanwhile, who suffers? It's that young single mom trying to raise a kid, trying to find a decent apartment close to a school that's going to be good for her kids. They're the ultimate victims of this. So the more you pile on the back of the small mom-and-pop landlord, the fewer quality rentals you get. And we want to see more of those rentals in every neighborhood in our province. This will work against it.
Well, and again, it may be the triumph of politics over, you know, good public policy, in the sense that what you have is the very same federal government who should be commended for taking the HST off purpose-built rental, but then does something that maybe discourages people from getting into that business, even the big guys, let alone the mom and pop. So it's one of those things where I think that's why I say politics is more behind this than anything else. We have in the news this morning a story, and I want to make sure we talk about this because we've just got, you know, 2 or 3 minutes left, but it's worthy of that at least. And that's this story that is based on a poll that talks about young Canadians leading the nation in Holocaust skepticism and in support for Hamas. And I guess I find the most unbelievable part of this, Tim, is that I find the conclusion here that in the opinion of the Holocaust skeptics, I'm quoting from the write-up on the poll here, 47% hold a negative view on Jews. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what if this poll had concluded that 47% of the group that are being surveyed had a low opinion of blacks or a low opinion of people who are in the LGBTQ community? We would be just saying, well, that it's almost un-Canadian. It is un-Canadian to have that kind of view where you take a dim view of a given faith group or cultural group. The Holocaust skepticism or thinking it's exaggerated doesn't surprise me, only because of age. You know, the younger you get, the further you are disconnected. And I know the Ford government brought in some compulsory Holocaust education, which is, I think, what's necessary in order to remind people of this. But don't you find this whole story like incredibly disconcerting about any group, but in this case about Jewish people?
Yeah, absolutely. It's heartbreaking and also terrifying. I'm pleased to see that the Ford government has acted. Minister Lecce is bringing mandatory education on the curriculum. It is unbelievable to me that many young people would either not understand the Holocaust or worse, to deny it. I remember, I'm sure, John, you've been in a similar place in Yad Vashem and just feeling, you know, the draining of your heart and spirit when you, you know, bear witness what happened to Jews in World War II and in the Holocaust Museum here in Toronto, maybe more school trips there. Man, we cannot lose sight of this. And you've been good at this, but I worry about other public figures who are not calling out the anti-Semitic behavior we're seeing, where the targeted violence at Jewish businesses, the tolerance of boycotts because somebody happens to be Jewish. It's terrifying. Man, we need more government figures to follow what the provincial government is doing and calling out this garbage.
And, you know, in the very same story, it talks about having a positive view of Hamas. Now, I would distinguish between having a positive view of any aspect of the war itself, but Hamas, you know, which prosecuted this terrorist attack on October the 7th, is, and no, I don't think you really hear anybody disagree with this, is a terrorist group. It's been designated formally by a number of countries, I think, including our own. And yet you have the younger Canadians, again, close to 25% of them, having a sympathetic view about Hamas. Like, I don't know. As you say, it's more than anything else, it's disconcerting that because I think it's a sign of that kind of polarization and sort of, you know, I don't know, you're either with me or against me kind of view that's now taken over a lot of issues.
Yeah, call them out. Attach a permanent stigma for their profession, their conduct, and their social life to those who support Hamas.
Just one last thing, because we just got a few seconds. Do you think this lawsuit by the school boards, I tend to look at it and say it's going to be a long time before anybody's awarding any damages against TikTok and Snapchat. It probably gets the issue being discussed, so that's a good thing for parents and teachers and everybody, but I don't think the lawsuit's really going to go anywhere too far.
Well, I think there's some there. So look, 33 states did a coordinated action a couple months ago where their attorneys general did a similar lawsuit against Meta. 8 others did copycats. So you've got 80% of the states that are doing something. I do believe, I mean, there's a whistleblower a while ago that talked about how Meta had evidence that this was leading to eating disorders
among... That's like the tobacco companies.
Yeah, you got it. So follow the road of tobacco. But, John, my main point... provincial level. It's got to be the provinces lead this. BC is looking into it. Ontario should join them. I think that's the approach to take to put pressure. Just like tobacco school boards, get back to your knitting. Make sure we actually focus on the basics, yeah. Teachers in front of the kids. That's where their focus should be.
Exactly. Tim, thanks very much. Tim Hudak, the former leader of the Ontario PCs and now the CEO of the Real Estate Association for the Morning Brief.